Isaiah chapter number 57. We're talking about some things that are difficult to do, some things that are required for you. We talked about presenting yourself already. And in presenting yourself, in Romans chapter 12, he says that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present yourself, your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Excuse me. Now, the second thing that's difficult to do is once you present yourself, what if you find something that needs to be eliminated? Let's say you've done an evaluation and now there needs to be an elimination. The important thing to understand is that when you get ready to eliminate something, it's not just this random go through and tear a bunch of stuff out, because all that'll do is leave a big hole. You want to be real careful about leaving a real big hole, a real big crevice that's there. You say, why? It's susceptible to have things fall in it. It's better to purge yourself than it is to just empty out the hole. You get a big excavator, you go in there, you get out a big root rake or whatever, you pull out a big stump, you better put something in that hole. You say, why? That hole will be can catch anything. You don't have to raise your hand here. I'm not sure what I got caught in there. Just a second. It's got claws on it or something. It won't come out. Anyway, any of you ever had a cavity before, and you ever have the thing come out, and before you can get to the dentist, you know, you picked around and picked around, you brush your teeth and brush your teeth and brush your teeth, and then you don't drink anything hot, you don't drink anything cold because the nerve is exposed, right? And so then what you do is you go to the, not the hardware store, you go to the drugstore, and they got these little things about the size of a BB or whatever, and you can mash it down in there to try to keep other stuff from getting in there. And you say, why? Because decay can get in there, but also things, if it's too sweet or it's too hot or it's too cold, it can light you up, can't it? So the thing in the Christian life is when you purge yourself, you eliminate some of that. The purging process means that you put something in and you keep putting something in and you keep putting something in, and it forces the bad stuff out. But more importantly, it fills the hole as the bad stuff's coming out. I'm an advocate of, I believe in, it's right to do for you to get rid of things you shouldn't get rid of. But to just go in and have this gigantic house cleaning, I mean, some of you probably went in, you realized you shouldn't listen to rock and roll music and that kind of a deal. So you went in and had a house cleaning and you threw out all your country western and all your rock and roll and all your 50s and all of this and all of that. And you threw all that stuff. But in the meantime, you weren't putting the right stuff back in. And then you wonder why the stuff jumped back in the hole. And the reason is because you didn't fill the hole up as you were taking the stuff out. And that can be a bad thing. Is this on? All right. Isaiah chapter number 57. Pick it up in verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, that would be the Lord, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Now we're wanting him to walk with us, right? Talk with us, right? How shall two walk together except they be agreed, right? I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, so not just in the high and holy place, that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Where's Brother Ernie? Is Brother Ernie in here? Brother Ernie, you pray for us, would you please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, would you please? 2 Timothy 2. Now, I realize we started a few minutes late. I'll do my best to get you out of here by 8 o'clock. Now, we're talking about a purging process. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, one of the definitive passages on here. He says in verse number 15, you all know it by heart by now. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now watch. But shun profane and vain babblings. Why should I do that? They will increase to more ungodliness. So you have to pay attention to what you're listening to. You say, why? It will increase to more ungodliness, not just vain and profane babblings. You would think, well, vain and profane babblings would then produce vain and profane babblings. No, he said vain and profane babblings will increase. So what you listen to affects your heart, and what is in your heart comes out of your mouth. So you have to be careful about what you listen to. And then the Bible says this, and he says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetia. That's a false doctrine. They taught all millennialism. The resurrection already took place. The Lord's going to come down. Then after the millennial reign, everything's all straightened out and fixed up, and then the Lord will come back. It's false doctrine. Who concerning the truth of error, saying the resurrection is past already, overthrow the faith of some. See the illustration? Vain and profane babblings here has to do with the wrong doctrine. Say, well, it doesn't really matter what church I go to, preacher. It doesn't really make a difference, preacher. Everything's pretty much the same. No, he said it will increase. And then he uses an illustration and he says, listen, another passage about them. You know what he says? He said he made of them a castaway, a shipwreck. Because of what? False doctrine. Joel Osteen, by the way, is going to have a big thing at Madison Square Gardens. He'll be on this weekend if you want to tune in. Madison Square Gardens. He's filling up Madison Square Gardens. Can you believe Christian people will be going to something like that? But him and Victoria are going to be there having a big crusade thing, and he's going to be there and tell them God always promised you a victory. Well, maybe on the other side of the world he does, but Paul sure didn't end in victory. All right, now notice what he says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. All right, do you name the name of Christ? Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
All right, and quit your foolishness.
Amen.
You a Christian?
Amen.
Christ won?
Right.
Okay, quit your iniquity. It's pretty easy, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go a little further. But the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, the wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Here it goes. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the vain and profane babblings, the things that are up there in verses 16 to verse number 20, if he purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. And then he comes in with fleeing youthful lusts and foolish and unlearned questions, and gentle to all men, apt to teach, and then God peradventure grant you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You say what? Who are taken captive by the devil. The icing on that cake right there is he warns you, vain and profane babblings increase to ungodliness. Ungodliness there is not just doing things in the flesh, it's false doctrine. And the Lord says, if you'll purge yourself of those, the Lord will make you a vessel unto honor. But you got to purge yourself. How do you purge yourself? You study to show yourself approved. And the Bible says, if you're willing to accept what's right to do, come to Nehemiah chapter number 4. If you accept what's right to do, if God peradventure will give you the acknowledgement of repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. How do I get repentance? I acknowledge what the Bible says is true. God allows you if you'll accept the truth. If you reject the truth, the Lord doesn't give you repentance. You say, what's he trying to do? Revive the hearts of the broken and the contrite. Lord, I'm broke up. I'm messed up. I've got the wrong stuff inside. I'm doing wrong. The Lord says, you're right. You're wrong here. You're wrong here. You're wrong here. Well, Lord, I may be wrong here and here, but there I think is open for question. You know, I saw Brother Mitch the other day. You know what he said about so-and-so and such and such and such and such. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said the Lord, the devil just takes you captive when he wants to. You say, why? You refuse to acknowledge the truth. Is it true? Well, yeah, it's true, but I don't like it. It doesn't matter. If it's true and you want God to give you, grant you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then you can get victory over some of the things that cause you to fall back in the trap. But what's hard to do? Acknowledge truth? Well, grow up.
Amen.
Every one of us mess up, but how you handle the mess up determines whether or not you're a good man or a good woman.
Amen.
How you face your failure determines what you are inside. If you're a stinking coward, you got lace on your drawers and you run from all the conflict and I don't like controversy and I don't like conflict and I'm just trying to be a peacemaker. That's what the devil does. He comes with peace and flatteries. No, face the facts. You're wrong. What do? You fix it. But if you don't, you know what the Lord will do? He'll blind you, blind as a bat flying backwards in a bathtub at midnight. You won't be able to find your way out of nothing. You say, why? The Lord turned the light on. You said, I don't like that. Well, run off, little roach.
Right.
Go back in your hole, rat. You say, why? God's not going to do anything. You say, why? You're not broken. If all you can do is point at what everybody else has done to you instead of what you did wrong, you ain't going to never make any hay with the Lord.
Amen.
You have to learn to accept the fact it don't matter if they did 10 times what you did and you did one thing, you got to get that one thing fixed. And if you don't get that one thing fixed, you know what'll happen? You'll be flying around. But you can't. I just don't see it like that. I'm just stressed out. I just don't know what I'm going to do. That's the devil. Great peace have they which love thy what? And what?
Nothing.
What, Brother Russell? Nothing shall what? Why are you so easily offended? You don't love the law, do you? Especially when it's the mirror you have to look in and realize you're the one that busted it. You won't acknowledge the repentance. The Lord says, okay, you busted it. Yes, sir, Lord, you're right. That's David. You know what Saul says in 1 Samuel 15? You've heard it a million times here, at least. I'd at least say probably 50 at least. You know what Saul said? Lord, the people. 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 The people.
Amen.
Well, what happened to Saul? Well, he got roasted. What happened to David? He got forgiveness. You say, what was the difference? Psalm 51 is the difference.
Amen.
Be merciful to me, O Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The sacrifices of the Lord are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I'll take it, Lord. I'm wrong. You got a backbone? Well, I'm preaching to you now. I'm not teaching you. I'm preaching to you. You have to be willing to accept that passage. There, it's doctrinal. In this passage right here, you say, but preacher, why you pick Nehemiah chapter number 4? Nehemiah goes up there. He's a cupbearer. He goes over to the king. Why is your countenance fallen? What's the problem? He said, well, my people over there, they got no protection. They got nothing surrounding them, nothing to take care of them. And they're over there and the people burn the walls down and bad reputation and a bad rap for the Lord and so on and so forth. It bothers me about my people. I'd like to see the walls rebuilt. And the king said, okay, well, have at it. And he goes over there. You know what the first complaint about the people is, other than the people writing letters on him and writing emails about him and sending out texts and Snapchats and Instagram to try to run him down, and Sanballat and Tobiah talking about, oh yeah, if a little fox runs up there, it'll break it down, and trying to talk him out of it. Besides all that, you know what the people's complaint is? There's too much rubbish. There's never too much rubbish in your life the Lord can't forgive you. Never. Never. You can get forgiveness right now. You say what? Drop of a hat. Preacher, I've really messed up. I've messed up really bad. Good. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And if it don't cleanse from all, it don't cleanse from any. You don't get to pick and choose where the Lord forgives somebody. Don't forgive you. Forgive but forget. The Lord said He'll forgive you. You have to come unto Him, that all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. The Lord said He'd forgive you. You going to call Him a liar? No, you just like to wallow in your failure. That's the fact of the matter. You won't take the forgiveness.
Amen.
Well, if I do get Him to forgive me, do you think I can ever be restored to whatever I would be? What difference does it make? How about let's just get forgiveness first?
Amen.
How about stop beating yourself up and accept, hey, you know what? I didn't get justice, I got mercy. There's some kind of song like that I heard one time. Gave me chills up my spine. I'm thinking about myself, about that the judge up there that his mama got caught stealing bread. And he sentenced her to, I think it was 10 lashes with a cane. And then after he did that, he went down there and she was poor and she was starving to death and all that kind of stuff. And he sentenced her to that. Then he got up from there, took his robes off and went down there and barebacked and took her punishment for him. She didn't get justice. She got mercy.
Amen.
Well, He took my payment for me.
Amen.
I got plenty of justice. You say, when? Never. Not comparatively. But boy, I got tons of mercy I can tell you about. Should have got me there, 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 should have got me there. I got to be careful about not thinking He's just looking the other way. You get to getting the idea He just gives me a get out of jail free card. He's been much more merciful to me than He has been just. I don't understand why Christians can't do that. There must be something wicked about you. There must be something like the devil in you. You say, what? It's available to the devil. Why didn't he take it? Haven't you ever asked yourself that question? The devil's got the same Bible you do. The devil's seen God perform all kind of miracles. The devil was here before the first creation of man was. The devil's seen all that. He's been up there in heaven and been with Him. He's viewed all that kind of stuff. Why didn't he take the forgiveness? He must be like you. Too much rubbish. Lord can't ever do anything with my life. I don't know who told you that. Paul was a murderer. David was a murderer and adulterer. Moses was a murderer. stinking used Jonah over there, and he wasn't even happy about being used, and God used him anyway.
Amen.
Tell me he can't use you. I get wore out with that kind of stuff. It's just he can't use you now that you've fallen from your position of grace or whatever it is to do whatever it is you want to do. Well, how about, can I just do anything? Can I just, you know what David said? Lord, do you make me a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord? That's a king. You know what he said? I'll be happy to keep the, I'll be the doorkeeper, man. I don't care. Can I keep the door? The reason most people say the stuff I'm telling you right now is because after they mess up, they want to go back to where they were before. Well, you may not be able to, but can you do something?
Amen.
What did Mary do? What she could.
Right.
Well, what can you do? I can sit around and bellyache about, you know, all the mess I made. Well, I just made a bad mess. Well, I've been sidelined because I made a mess. I just made a mess. I made a mess. Okay, shut up. Turn the spotlight off yourself. I'm tired of hearing about it. Get up and go on. You sound like a little girl, man. Stop. Stop it. Wore out with it, man. We all got problems. The Lord's given every one of us enough ticks to remind us of the dog we are. Come on, man. Suck it up. Get up. Let's go on. Well, you know, I just, you know, the people. The people. Shut up, Saul. Shut up, Saul. Shut up, Saul.
Right.
You say, what happened? You're losing the kingdom, man. The Lord says, hey, look, I got some other things you can do. How about that?
Yeah.
You love me, don't you? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Okay, get up. Let's go on. Accept my forgiveness. Well, the brethren, you know what? They know all about it, and they got pictures, and they got all that kind of. The Lord says, yeah, I know all about that kind of stuff, and I know things about them you don't know. Can we get busy now? I'll take him if you won't.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, well, those people usually are willing.
Yes,
they're kind and gracious. They're able to work with people. The way some of you folks are, I think maybe you never messed up or anything. Maybe you never been to an altar, never sinned or nothing. You're just perfect. You're just perfect all the time. You must live in your own little world. That's what the devil thinks.
That's
he does. That's what he thinks. That's why he doesn't repent. He thinks he's right.
Yes, sir.
Well, isn't that you? I mean, you're talking about purging, right? You ever go back and look at the rubbish on the wall? Lord, it's just too much to rebuild. I mean, before we can even rebuild, we've got to take all the trash out. Okay, we'll get busy.
Right.
We're down in a hole one day. I used to work over at a paper mill over in Panama City while I was going to college over there, and I got a job at the paper mill. That was a big, big deal over there to get on the paper mill. That's a job you can work 30 years, and you can have a pension and this and that and the other, and capping digesters and doing all these other kind of things, 18 bolts on the top of a thing, midnight shift, hurricane winds blowing up there, pouring down rain, and they're running wood chips in there and then putting acid in there and taking the lift and getting the thing out of the big steel plate off the top, and then a single wrench with one head on the end of it, open-ended wrench, and go around, and you got to tighten those things down, and then you five of them right in a row. And the time you get to the end of that one, this one's ready again. And you get the acid on you, eat your boots off your feet. I mean, it's some bad stuff. And stink, my goodness, man, to high heaven. You're sitting out there in the driving rainstorm and pouring down rain, and I'm looking across at those guys. I asked one fellow across from me, I said, how long you been doing this? He said, oh, I've been at this about, oh, let's see, I think I've been here 25 years now. And I'm thinking, not me, man. I ain't doing this. 25 years, man. I'm about 18 years old, man. Got out of high school. I'm thinking, man. I mean, I'm back in Jacksonville Police Academy. I ain't doing it. We're down there in the bottom. We had a hurricane come through there, and a bunch of sand and stuff, a big flood came through there and washed a whole bunch of stuff down into a basement area where all of the fancy equipment and stuff was. And so they had to get two lug-headed, you know, imbeciles, and I was the new guy on the block, so I drew the short straw. And they take us down there, and they said, now here's what we want you to do. We want you to shovel out the basement. There's at least, 2 feet, maybe 2.5 feet worth of sand, just wet sand down there. And a big old huge room, about half the size of this room down here. We want you to shovel that out. And there's a set of stairs with a railing around the top of the thing. There's no elevator. There's no place to run a wheelbarrow. You can't get a crane or nothing in there like that. And I looked at the boss. I'm, you know, wet behind the ears and stuff like that. And I said, how do you expect us to get that out? And he said, 5-gallon bucket. He said, one bucket at a time. I said, man, we'll never get this out of here. He said, well, I guess you better get busy then. We got it out. It took us a week. You say, what? Two of us. One filled the bucket and one hauled the bucket up. You haul it over there, put it on a rope, pull it off the side of the rope. Didn't even give us a pulley. Dump it out. Take it over. Dump it out. Take it over. Swap down with him. fill it in the bucket, pull up the bucket. You say, what'd you do? I did that for 8 hours for over a week. You know what he said to me? Better get busy. It ain't going to empty itself. There ain't no easy way to do it. Hey, Christian, you know what you need to do? You need to get out in the basement. You say, well, preacher, there's so much rubbish down there. It's so dirty down there. How do you expect me to get that out of there and all that? One bucket at a time.
Amen.
Get busy.
Amen.
Seriously, you put it down there. Big storm came through in your life. You threw a bunch of garbage down there. Some of you look like Y2K Christians, man. You got beans and corn and wheat and all kind of other stuff down there. You got more rats in your basement than anywhere else. And now all of a sudden Y2K came and went, and now you got all these beans. And what are you going to do? Same way you eat an elephant, I guess. One bite at a time. Do you put it down there? It's not your environment. It's not somebody else's fault. Preacher, what do I need to do? Get you a shovel and get it out one bucket at a time. You know what? I've never been so happy to have somebody work with me. They were in a green pack, man. They smell like peppermint, menthol something. What was that long? Salem. Cools. That was it. Cool with a K. Cools. Big old long things. He'd lean up there against the top while I was down there shoveling, filling in the bucket and stuff. He'd lean up there. I'd see him up there leaning in the top. Blow that stuff and that wind to grab it and bring it down in there, you know, secondhand smoke, man. I've never been so glad. I'm thinking, boy, I sure am glad he's up there to pull the bucket up. Otherwise, you know what I'd be doing? I'd have to walk up the stairs and pull the bucket up or carry the bucket up myself. You know what the Lord's doing? He'll help you get it out if you're willing to take it out a shovel at a time. Why don't you get to work, man? Instead of griping about the environment and worrying about the banking and worried about this and worried about that, why don't you get busy cleaning out the basement?
That's good.
We got done with that thing, man. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, I know pride goeth before a fall and the haughty spirit before destruction. I know that. We got done with that thing, man. We're down there. Now it's starting to dry out, you know, down there. We got a broom down there, and we started off with a big push broom, and we're pushing it and all that kind of stuff. And we finally got that, and we got us a regular sweeper broom and got us a dustpan. We got everything. You could just about eat off that floor, man. And we went down there and went and saw the boss, and the boss said, okay, guys, this is a good job. I got another one over here. Don't expect to get accolades for doing what you're supposed to do. He paid me to do it. But we did a good job. Little boy came down to the altar one time. He's coming down to the altar and he's praying, and the preacher got down there next to him and he's listening to the little boy pray, and the little boy's praying, do a good job on me, Lord. Do a good job on me. Well, that's the right prayer. Do a good job. But you know what the Lord says? You got a bucket and a shovel? Let's get at it. I forgave you. Now clean up the mess. That passage you're looking at there in Nehemiah chapter number 4, come to Psalm 51. You know what that is? That's the people. You know what they complain? We can't ever build anything. There's too much rubbish. I've made a mess of my life. There's a woman over there that had 5 husbands and they wasn't none of them hers. How'd you like to live with that? You think you got a bad reputation? How'd you like to know that woman coming down there? She ain't got enough clothes on to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay. She's probably tatted from one end of the O. She probably got others. She's got probably got chains in her nose and chains in her ears and chains in her belly button and chains in unspeakable places and things like that. She comes down there, lime green mohawk or something like that, listening to her beatbox, man, and she's having a time, and here the Lord comes up to her. He cleaned her up, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, what's your problem? It's just an excuse. Stop using him for your excuse. Hey, he don't drive a trash truck. He drives a recycle truck.
Amen.
Hey, he recycled all of us at one time or another, not just not salvation, since salvation. You need to get a hold of that. I mean, accept it. Enjoy it. That's not an excuse to sin. He will paddle your posterior if you do that. Don't be stupid. But when you mess up, you say, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness. He'll say, okay. Now, part of the thing is you're going to have to clean it up. I've seen time and time and time again the Lord deliver somebody from a bad habit, a filthy habit. And then I've seen them go back to that habit, and the next time the Lord doesn't just take it away from them. The Lord lets them come off of it, but then they suffer the agony of the damned trying to get rid of the thing. Because the Lord said, I took it, but you took it back. Now, I've forgiven you, but now you're going to go through and find out what it's worth to do. Okay, well, good. You say what? Make you a little slower to get at it. You ever gotten in financial trouble before? No, not you, saints. You probably never did extend the credit cards a little more than you should have and went and bought something you had no business buying, and you got something on time and you're paying 30% interest. I'm sure you little angels would have never done that. But for some people, you know what happens? They get in there and the Lord helps them to get through the kind of thing. And then the next time around, the Lord said, no, you know what? You have to learn a lesson. You're going to have to learn to stick a chewing gum, call something. You're going to have to learn you can't be Ubering everywhere you go, and you can't be picking up and what do they call the thing that comes to your house, the hub, the Grubhub or the DoorDash or the whatever it might be. No, you go over to the dollar store and you pick up your food and you have to learn to live on a budget. Amen. Well, Lord, you're not, no, I delivered you, but you know what you're going to do? Now you're going to pay your bills. Well, Lord, I got to work extra job. Good, I'll provide the work for you. But get off your lazy behind and realize that that dollar bill represents sweat. And next time, you won't be in such a hurry to spend it. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just trying to say, whatever happened to the backbone in American Christians to recognize there's a responsibility that comes with making, just because you're a Christian, you got a good daddy. He still holds you accountable even though he forgave you. Amen. Sometimes the paddle is, hey, get you a bucket and a shovel and let's get going. We were over there, and we had a few horses over there years and years ago, right off of Happy Valley Farms, around that big hairpin corner there. And we come around that thing over there, and you walk in there, and the horses had been in there for 3 days. It had been pretty spitting snow and been cold and been rainy and stuff, and we didn't turn them out in the pasture. We'd been feeding them and stuff like that. But, you know, when all you're doing is just feeding them and watering them, some things have a tendency to pile up. Did you know that? Did you know that when you have animals that sometimes things like that, did you know they pile? I mean, you know, and did you know if they walk around in that stuff that it gets in a thing called the frog in their hooves and you realize it can cause an infection and it can create a problem for you and the farrier has to come out there and clean all that stuff out and sometimes have to have them reshoed and different things like that. They can't stand walking around. They got them big old long toenails down there. They can't walk around in that stuff for a long period of time. So you walk in there and, you know, daddy says, okay, boys get the pitchfork and the shovel and get the wheelbarrow. And we're like, well, I bought horses to ride. Okay, well, you can ride them as soon as you're done cleaning out the stalls. They call it mucking them out. As soon as you get taking that muck out of there, you can do that. You say, what'd you do? One shovel at a time? You say, what? We spent more time polishing saddles and cleaning tack and brushing horses and washing them down and paying farriers and paying vet bills and picking up 50-gallon drums of sweet feed and corn and mixing it up and feeding the horses than we ever spent riding them. That's part of the responsibility. Fixing fences all the time and tweaking the barbed wire to get it tight where they'd be poking through there or trying to bust through there and do all that other kind of stuff. And you let them stay in that barn for about 3 days. Man, you talk about a day's work. You ever seen how big a horse is? You ever seen horse apples? That stuff don't, when you step on it, it don't get off your feet. You say, what do you got to do? You got to get in there and it gets stuck and it gets caked and then you got to break it up with a pitchfork and it's got all kind of hay in it and all that other kind of stuff. That horse just stands there and looks at you. You missed a spot. That's what they do. You going to ride me? You going to clean me? What you think about that? You want to own a horse? That's some of the greatest lessons I ever learned in my life. You see, you get them out in the lunging pen, you get them out in the ring, you get to ride them, get to cut out a couple of barrels and, you know, run around the barrels and, you know, try to rope a calf, which is a joke. But at any rate, you do all that other kind of stuff. Okay, good. You know what we did? You spent all the time cleaning. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you mind cleaning out your own stall? You know where the Bible said if the ox's crib is clean, you ain't got an ox worth much. You say, why? He ain't in there. That's part of what happens in the Christian life. Horse apples. That's part of the deal. You say, what is it? It stinks. It's got to be done. You say, well, what is that? You know, oh, well, that's fertilizer. It ain't for you when you're taking it out of the stall. We never sold fertilizer. You couldn't hardly give the stuff away. So what do you have to do? You got to go spread it out in the pasture. You learn real quick which way is the wind blowing. So you think I'm kidding you? you realize that it'll be worth it to go on down to the north end of the bottom down there so that when that wind changes direction, you ain't up there saddling your horse and going, man, good night. What in the world? That stuff gets out in the sun. It smells. You got stuff down in your stall. You pull it out in the sun. You think it's not going to stink? It smells, don't it? You say, what do? You expose it to the sun. You'd be surprised. Once it dries up, you know what? You can still see it there, but you can't smell it. The only way you can smell it is if you step in it or stir it. The old preacher said to me one time, and I made a comment during a meeting thing I was at, and the old preacher came down there. He said, you know something? And I said, what's that, preacher? He said, you know, even dog poop don't smell when it's dried out unless you stir it. That's profound. Some things are just better left off unstirred. Amen. Leave it set out there and let it dry up. It'll turn to powder. And after a while, you know what? It'll be good for the ground around it. Where do you get that, preacher? Oh, just a little passage over there where the Lord comes out and looks at a fig tree not bearing any figs and stuff like that. And the hireling there that's working, not the hireling, but the guy that's managing the orchard there, he comes out there and the owner's getting ready to cut the thing down. And he said, hey, boss, will you give me a chance to dig it and what? Do you know? You say, what happens? They back up the stinking 18-yarder and dump that smelly stuff all over you. You say, what'll it make you grow, make you bear fruit? But it'll make you stink for a while. But it's better than being cut down. Yes. Preacher, that's just a little too graphic for me. Well, what do you think your sin looks like to a holy God? You think it looks pretty? You think I'm doing it justice to talk about it being horse manure? The Lord used it himself. He calls it dung. Paul said, I count all things but dung. My goodness, Paul, that's a pretty low blow there. I mean, you're a Jew. I mean, sanctified and set apart in that kind of a deal. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying purge. But when you purge, it smells. You go to the dentist and they get ready to drill out that tooth that you put that little thing in there to try to fix it. And they run that little air down in there and, man, it hurts. And then they Novocaine you up and stuff so you can stand the pain. And then they get to running that thing. The thing about Novocaine is it may help you when they do it so it doesn't hit the nerve. But even though they're washing it out and all that kind of stuff, that Novocaine doesn't cause your smeller not to work. Man, you can still smell that rot. You can smell when they're burning that bone out of your tooth, trying to make room for the filling. It stinks, don't it? Sure, coming out of your mouth. And when you've been talking, you know what's been happening, your breath's been going right across that cavity. And unbeknownst to you, the cavity and the smell of that cavity and all the rots down in there, you know what's been coming out of your mouth? That stuff right out of that cavity. You ever talk to people like that? You listen to them, they're just bitter. They're like a snake with a forked tongue. They got a tongue like a razor blade. Every time it comes out, just you say, what is that? They got a cavity. They're talking out of a hole. That breath's running right across that smelly spot. So what's the best thing to do? One bucket at a time. Take it out there and throw it in the field and let it dry up. Let the Lord do something with it. Are you in Psalms chapter 51? I'm trying to hurry. Oh, yeah, that's in the Old Testament. Making any sense to you? This is actually me trying to encourage you. You may not think about it, but ladies and gentlemen, there is nobody that is immune to what I'm saying. Nobody, 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 unless Jesus is here. I was hoping he'd stand up and go, well, I am. Well, thank you, sir. Could you get us out of here, please? But everybody struggles with this. Now, some of you got some stuff that's down in there that's been there for years, haven't you? And you got somebody that did something to you about 10 years ago. Still down in there. Kind of changes how you view people in general, doesn't it? So what do you need to do? Get you a bucket and a shovel. The Lord will help you with it, but you got to bring it out in the sun. You know what happens in 5 Kings over there in Joshua? Joshua finds those 5 kings that came up against him in war. You remember the passage over there where they go hide out in the cave? Do you remember that? 5 Kings, that'll be your 5 senses. And Joshua says, go out here and bring them out into the sun. And you know what happens? He takes them out there in the sun and he kills them out there in the sun. Pardon me. And then after he kills them, you know what he says? Go bury them in the cave and put a stone upon it and don't dig them back up. Amen. Once you expose them to the sun, bury them, put them in Pandora's box and lock them down. And don't go back to them. That's real freedom.
Yes.
You say, what is the message there? They're dead, don't dig them up. Amen. Leave them alone. Amen. You older people, can I make a suggestion to you? If you have kids or grandkids, don't tell them about your wicked past. Amen. Even if it was all in fun and old back in the day, and don't tell them that. What you're telling those kids, they don't know that about you. And you know what they do? They think, well, you did it in moderation. They'll do it in excess. They'll get in enough trouble without you telling them. They look at you like you're a god or something. You older teenagers, you got these young ones around here, they're like little chicks. They're like little ducks. A duck hatches out, and you know what he does? He follows the first thing he sees. If he sees you, you know what he'll do? He'll follow you. He'll think he's a person. That little duck will follow you around. You know what these kids are doing around here, these little ones? They're following you. You see this little one sitting right down here? He watches. He's got eyes like a hawk, man. Every now and then he'll turn around when I'm sitting there getting ready for Sunday morning. He'll turn and he'll go. He knows what's coming. You say, oh, surely not. You followed older influences, didn't you? Did any of them misguide you? Well, do you think maybe you might want to consider not letting what happened to you happen to them?
Yes, sir.
Look in Psalm 51. We're talking about purging. I realize I'm running pretty close to the edge here. We'll get through this one, and I'll give you the rest of it on Sunday morning because the next part of it needs to be done by itself. Psalm 51, David asked for mercy in verse number 1. He asked for washing and cleansing in verse number 2. And it only comes after doing that. He says, notice what he says. Verse 3, I what? For I what? I admit, I acknowledge. My sin is everywhere. You know why the thing keeps coming up? Because the first step to it not coming up is you to admit I'm wrong. But you have to care more about what God thinks than what everybody else thinks. You've got to do that. You say, why? God fixed you in such a fashion that no matter what you think, until you acknowledge your sin before God, that thing stays right in front of you. It's called the psychological effect in modern psychiatry. It's the biblical effect. God gave you a conscience, and unless you sear that conscience and sear that conscience and get a Bundy conscience on you or a Gacy conscience on you, that it doesn't bother you at all to do those things. You know what he does? He's giving you that to say, and what about this? Well, Lord, can we deal with that later? What about this? You ever been praying and have something pop? That ever happened to you? You say, what is that, preacher? That's a purging process. You know what the Lord's saying? Here it is. Looks like a bowl of manure to me. What you want to do with it? Now, the first thing you should do is go, well, Lord, good night, man. I'm sorry that stuff's down there. Get that out of here, man. He's up there with a string. He's like, what you want me to do with it?
Yeah, good.
Well, Lord, there's some other things in there, but can I just hold on to that for a little while? I mean, and down she goes again. And then you get to praying, and then you'll invariably come up and say, preacher, you know, I'm praying, and I have these thoughts that come in my mind. I don't know where they come from. Something trying to get out. If it doesn't get out that way, you know what happens? You keep reading down on that passage, you know what will happen? David's bones are breaking. You say, why? If you don't get it out and you don't admit it before the Lord, you know what will wind up happening? It'll create a physiological problem. Would you say what? A psychological problem? You can't stand it. Look in the passage right here. Let's hurry. I acknowledge my sins. My sins are ever before me. Thou desirest truth in the inward part. Purge me, he says there with hyssop. And I shall be clean. Purge. Get him cleaned out from inside. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Look, that the bones which thou hast... It has a physiological effect on you. It ain't just age. It ain't just, you know, you twisted your ankle while you was plowing in the garden. No, it makes you fragile. Hadn't you read the passage in the Bible where the Bible talks to you about the Bible being like marrow to your bones? You know what bone marrow is? You get cancer. You know what they'll do? They give you a bone marrow transplant. A friend of mine, matter of fact, it was Sheriff McMillan's son. His name was Jim Too. He was a real good artist. He was back in those days, they used to draw composite drawings and things. He was one of the first artists. He went to all kinds of schools and stuff. He was good at it too, man. But you know what he had to do? He wound up with bone marrow cancer. He had to have bone marrow replacements. You say, what happens? The Bible says your bones get fragile. You say, why? It's eating on you. You ever have one of them things in you? It's just gnawing on you. Just gnawing on you. Well, why don't you acknowledge it before the Lord? You know, David said, I can't get it off my mind. Amen. I'm pacing the floor. That's a king in a palace. He's got everything at his disposal, whatever he wants, every pleasure in life you can have. You know what he said? I can't run fast enough to get away from my shadow. My shadow is just right there on me. And I won't deal with it. And he didn't deal with it for almost a year. And he said, my bones are getting fragile. They're breaking. Snapping. I believe a lot of physical sickness is caused from unconfessed sin. I really do. I believe that. Now, I didn't say you're sick because you have unconfessed sin. I said I believe a lot of it. You get sensitive that way. You know, David said, my sin is not only ever before me, but he said it's also having a physical effect on me. But he's willing to take that personal responsibility. Now, watch what he does. Verse number 10. You know, hide my face from my sin, blot out mine iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a what? And renewing me, guess what? The heart right there is talking about the way he thinks. Creating me a what? What kind of heart? You mean he had begun to justify what he did? He said, Lord, I'm not thinking right. That's tough, ain't it? You say, what is that? For a year he's been justifying it. You know what happens to you when you get ready to lay down with sin? You know what you do? You justify it. Well, Lord made me like this. Well, I can't really help it. Well, it's not really my fault. Well, I mean, after all the way I was raised, everybody deserves a break. I mean, you know, everybody else does it. I mean, is it really wrong? I don't really know that it's wrong. I mean, well, what's the big deal? I don't really, you're laying down. She's right there next to you. He's right there next to you. There he is right there. See, there he is. Close as your shadow, stuck to you like glue. You know what David said? I need a clean heart. I need to think like God thinks. You say, what goes with a dirty heart? A rotten spirit. Everybody's your enemy. Next thing you know, you're lying about everybody. Next thing you know, you're conniving and contriving. You say, what is that? That's Jezebel. Looking over there at Naboth's vineyard, and Ahab comes home, and he's pouting. He knew exactly what he was doing. You think the big manipulator's Jezebel? Huh. Ahab knows exactly what he's doing. All he's got to do is get a poochie lip, and she comes in there. What's the matter, baby? What's wrong, honey? Oh, what's the matter? What can mommy get for you, honey? Well, it's right there next door. I look over my balcony, and there's that vineyard down there. I wanted to the garden of herbs so we can run out there and get some basil and some paprika and some peppers and stuff. I don't know why he won't let me have it. Don't worry, honey. I'll take care of it for you. He knew exactly what he was doing. You know what happened? He comes down there and he's got the wrong spirit. He's got the wrong attitude. And Jezebel picks up on it. The next thing you know, she's writing letters and lying and lying and lying and lying. And then brings old Naboth up there and his entire family. Because if they had killed just Naboth, them kids would have got the inheritance. You want to know why his kids got killed? Jezebel saw to it that whoever would inherit the vineyard was killed too. So now the whole thing can come up for sale. There's no inheritor. Daddy, how come they're throwing rocks at us? They want our vineyard. Daddy, how come they're... What did we do? We raised the right vineyard. We were doing the right thing. We did what God said. We didn't give up the vineyard. And it's better to die for certain things than it is to live on the way it is. We ain't selling out. Okay, Daddy, just pray the Lord will take us out of here. And about that time, a rock hits him between the eyes and knocks him out like Goliath got knocked out with David. And next thing you know, they're up there. And the Lord said, sure appreciate that, Naboth. You'll see him in heaven one day. You say, what? No compromise for the vineyard. Well, Lord, he got it anyway. Yeah, but what a way to go, man. What a way to go, to be able to stand in front of the Lord and the Lord say to you, appreciate that, Naboth. You didn't take your inheritance for granted. The ground I gave you. Sure do appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to put you in the Bible. What you mean you're going to put me in the Bible, Lord? Never mind, you'll understand later. In the meantime, take your kids down yonder and get you some ice cream. So you don't believe it's like that? Oh, I do believe it's like that. I think the Lord came down there when they're slinging those rocks down there. I think the Lord kneeled down there with those boys and said, Naboth, bring your kids up here. And they're all huddled right there together. And the Lord said, okay, let's pray. I'm fixing to take you on out of here. We're going to go down to paradise. You've never seen a place like that in all your life. Rocks are hitting them all over. They don't feel like BBs on a rubber tire bouncing off. Those things are going off, and the Lord's down there. Boy, you wouldn't believe that, man. They got fruit trees down there like nothing you've ever seen before. I mean, man, it's got everything you could possibly imagine. There's no skeeters down there, no roaches. There's no hot weather. You ain't got to plow the ground. I take care of everything for you. All this kind of stuff like that. And Naboth says, boys, what you think? And Naboth's wife said, well, honey, that sounds like a good place to me. And the Lord said, well, how about we just go down there right now? And about that time, lights out, lights back on. The Lord said, here you go. Hey, Abraham. There's a new group here for you. This is Naboth, his wife and kids. What'd they do? Well, they had a vineyard. They died protecting it. How about taking care of them? Be glad to, Lord. Preacher, you've lost your mind. I've seen people die, man. I've seen people die that as sure as I'm sitting here, something happens when they're transitioning over there, and there is a peace that passes all understanding, and that faith, even though they're struggling and stuff, that face kind of relaxes a little bit like that, and it's like they're seeing something. I've wondered sometimes, I wish I could see what they're seeing right now. I wonder if he's standing right here. I always err on the side that maybe he is. Maybe he's just standing right there talking to him. You ready to dump this body? Yes, sir, Lord, I sure am. Look at him down there heaving and groaning and moaning. Yeah, Lord, sure looks. He's in rough shape down there. I feel pretty good. Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till I take you on up to glory, man. You ain't going to believe a place up there. You know, what used to be down in paradise is up there now. I'm going to show you that. You ready to go? Oh, yes, sir, Lord. Well, did you want to say goodbye to anybody? No, sir, let's go. Wouldn't you like to go like that? Instead of getting ready to go and say, Lord, before you go, can you send the priest in? Let me have last rites. Lord, before I go up there, I need to confess this and this and this. And Lord, I got this rubbish and I got this. Lord, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. Wouldn't you rather just go and say, Lord, I'm ready, clean heart and right spirit, man. Wouldn't you like to have your joy back? So what does it start? David got his joy back. Man, what a fall. Man, what a fall. Pretty high up. Pretty low fall, but he recovered from it. Boy, what a way to go. Purging process. It's nasty and it stinks. But when you get done, you feel all made over again. Things don't hurt quite as much and they don't ache as much. You get a clearer vision of how things are. I see you over there. Preacher, what are you saying? You've got to present yourself for that process. You know he won't force it. It depends on whether or not you want it. And if you don't, he won't make you. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight. Thank you for these folks coming out. Weather turning off bad and thunder rolling, lightning crashing, in some places rain falling a couple of inches at a time. Lord, these folks are under a lot of stress and a lot of strain, a lot of unknowns and uncertainties and unsureties, and things are going on every time you flip on the news. There's some other idiot doing something else stupid. And Lord, we can't help but look to Thee and ask You, would You soon deliver us from this mess that we're in down here? But in the meantime, Lord, would You give us a chance to present ourselves and to purge ourselves, Lord, so that we might be able to have better fellowship with You. I pray You'll help these folks to take the truths of the Bible and apply them in their own heart tonight. And thank You, Lord, for both the folks that are here tonight that made it out tonight, those that couldn't make it, those that happen to be watching by the internet or whatever they might do, or maybe catch the message later, might they consider that maybe it's a good time for a purging process before it gets stove up and stinking too bad. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this. Please prepare our hearts for Sunday, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.